It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 34 today. You know the drill that's coming. That's right. Come on in. The water is fine. The hot tub is fired up. We have steaks, hot dogs, hamburgers on the grill, filling the air with the smells of the grill. We have a cooler off to the left, lots of ice, lots of cold drinks. We have coffee and hot tea inside if you want that. And we have vegetables and fruit and even some chips off to the right on the table there. Let's just enjoy clothes-free living for the next hour or so together, taking in the elements, the wind on our skin, the sun on our skin. Literally, no pun intended, literally stripping away the nonsense of life, because that's what clothes-free living does. Regular listeners to the show know that. Longtime naturists / nudists know that. But if you're a first-time listener just checking it out, yeah, that's how it works. You get rid of the clothes and you get rid of a lot of junk. You're not faking it anymore. You're not Mr. Power Man or Miss Power Lady. You're just you. You're just you. Your heart and soul will shine through, and that's the whole purpose behind clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. And yes, if you are counting, this is week 34. It's also episode 34. Because we give you a brand new show every Saturday morning. Hit Spotify at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Gets farmed out to all of the podcast platforms sometime after that. So wherever you go for your podcast, just type in Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. The show will come up. You can also hit up our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com. Hit us up on email, nakedforevermore@gmail.com. And the best way to reach us is right through Twitter. Just type in Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, and our little page will come up to send a direct message, and that's the best way to get a hold of us, to make comments, to make suggestions, to ask questions, and so on and so forth. Well, we have a terrific power-packed show for you today. We're going to begin with a short interview that I did with Rana Crozy. She has been a longtime nudist, and she's been a big wheel with AANR in many different positions. She's currently the chairperson of the Public Relations Committee for AANR, a fascinating woman, highly intelligent, very articulate, and states the case for why nudism should be and actually is normal and what we can do about it. So we'll talk to her in just a few moments. Right after that, we'll bring in Lisa Monroe, our weekly correspondent on naturism and nudism and clothes-free living. And then after that, we will get to part two of my interview with Fiona Discom. She and her husband own a hotel and a boat in the UK. You can book a trip, a minimum three-night stay, and they will take great naturist care of you. They will take you through the canal system. They will cook your meals for you. Just a great couple and a great business they have going, Narrow Boat Hotel. So part two of my interview with Fiona Discom later in the show. Well, again, you're listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 34 today. Thank you for being with us for this hour. Let's enjoy clothes-free living for all of the right reasons together as we get to my interview with the very terrific Rana Crozy. We are headed up to Massachusetts today to talk to a wonderful woman who's a huge advocate for naturism, nudism, clothes-free living for all the right reasons, is out there publicly early and often, has held many positions with her local club as well as with AANR. In fact, she's currently the public relations chair of the PR committee for AANR. She's a retired university professor of community health nursing. Her doctorate degree is in health education. So let's welcome to the show this morning from Massachusetts, Dr. Rana Crozy. Good morning, Rana. How are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciated your email that you sent a few months ago saying that you listen to the show all the time. You wanted to be a part of this because we're promoting the same exact thing, you and I and other people out there. And maybe just take us through, if you don't mind, before we get into the heart and the meat of the matter, a little bit about your background. I know you discovered nudism later in life, but then you haven't looked back. You're full bore, straight ahead. But also, if you have a moment, list some of the positions that you've held as well.
Certainly. I had the opportunity to learn about nudism well over 30 years ago, although much earlier in my life, when I traveled with a friend, I would go to St. Bart's, which was in the French West Indies, and I thought being topless or top-free was pretty cool. So I guess back even in the 70s, I was already thinking about the fact that why do we really need to have bathing suits? And so, but it wasn't until the early 90s that I was introduced to a gentleman prior to my current husband, who was a nudist, and I had my first time experience at Dyer Woods, which is a nudist resort in Rhode Island. And quite honestly, I did not have a problem, which I think is unusual as a woman. I was surrounded by people that were friendly and kind. And my first experience was I wanted to swim that day. We were there to fix his RV that he had. The weather was lovely. And I went into the water to take a swim. I was the only one. And when I came out, they applauded. I just smiled, put my hands up and said yes. And that was it for me. I discerned from that very moment that the folks who were nudists, or naturists as many people call them, were just really open and friendly and accepting. Truly from that day forth, it just resonated with me. That relationship did not last, and I met my current husband. At some point, I said to him, you know, I'm a nudist, and I'm really missing the life that I had. And he said, well, it wouldn't be a problem for him. Good. And that was the, okay, he's a keeper. And in fact, the very first article that I ever wrote for the Bulletin, which is the AANR magazine, was called How I, in quotes, corrupted my husband, because he loved to tell everybody, I made him a nudist. I corrupted him. Well, I can tell you that my husband is probably more of an advocate than I am. And don't ever say anything negative about nudism, because he's originally from Colombia, and he has an accent. And he'll say, well, you don't understand. It's really wonderful and it's safe. And he'll go on and on. He's better than I am. So he's been involved in pretty much, or as a support. I'm the one that's really involved, that does all the work, but he's a supporter. He comes everywhere that I go. He has a great time being outside, having fun and swimming and doing pickleball. And I go to the meetings. But back in, gee whiz, I think it was in 2010, I was involved with Anner East, and I was part of the public relations committee there. I also, in 2007, was part of a video that was made at Solaire Recreation League, where we have been members for well over 20 years now. As an educator, I have always believed that we need to share and explain what we do and who we are. Getting back to 2016, I was asked to run as a trustee for AANR, and I did run, and I did run with the term of I'm going to be loud and proud about who we are. And I was very fortunate. I was elected for three terms, so I was a trustee for AANR for 6 years. I was also asked if I would do public relations, which I think is a terrific role for me because I feel that I can be a good spokesperson, or as I sometimes joke, the big mouth, because I am out there. I really do tell everybody as often as I can, not only that I'm a nudist, but I've helped many people to figure how to talk to their own families, how to talk to their children. Yeah. And I believe it was 13 years ago that I wrote a first series that had a very long title, How Long Should You Wait to Tell the World You're a Nudist? Mm-hmm. And it was a shared project between the Naturist Foundation, N Magazine, and the Bulletin. That was something that I felt was really important because people don't know how to tell others that they're nudist. Sometimes they want to say, I have this secret. Well, anytime you tell somebody that you have a secret, it sounds like there's something bad about it, that it's, you know, that it's incorrect. Yeah. Yeah. So that was part of the writing that I started doing. Recently, I shortened the title and added a few extra pieces to that article, and it was on our AANR website, and it's how to share you're a nudist. And again, it's part of it has to do with knowing if somebody says something negative that you are prepared in advance to be able to respond in a positive way. Yeah. So there are a lot of tips and hints in there to help people to be able to be open and honest and confident in the way that they talk to others about being a naturist or being a nudist. I have written many articles from, the benefits of nudism, particularly for women, for improving body image, for improving your mental health, your self-acceptance, your ability to accept others. That's one of the things I think we are very proud about, is that we don't care what you look like. We care about who you are as a human being, what you have in your heart and soul. And if you are a good person, that is what's important. If you behave appropriately, that's important. It isn't, we all come in different sizes and shapes and conditions. Yeah. And now it may be true that some of us need to lose some weight or we need to improve our physical health, but that has nothing to do with our acceptance of you or feeling that you are comfortable in your own skin. And many people, and particularly women, will say, I have never felt as comfortable as I do now. Stuffing yourself into a bathing suit, or even worse perhaps, is wearing tiny little bikini bathing suits. One wonders, why bother? All you're doing is calling attention to the very parts that, that have, there's nothing wrong with any body part. Right. We should be comfortable about our entire body.
Right.
But we've been socialized to believe that certain parts of our body are bad.
Yeah.
And we need to undo that kind of thinking. So the whole educational piece, getting back to, the public relations part of it, not only is it, presenting a good image of ourselves, but it's also a lot of teaching for people to recognize that they are fine the way they are, and they don't have to cover everything up, except of course if it's cold or you're burning. Some of us would love to be nude all the time, except for me, I can tell you I'm always cold.
Right.
So, and it's very costly to push up the heat in your apartment all the time. There are plenty of things that we can do, and I'm from Massachusetts, so there are plenty of things you can still do in the cold weather. We have to be reasonable. And so it's, there are times when we do have to wear clothing, but there are times when we shouldn't have to wear clothing. And
right.
I think that's the message.
We're talking to Dr. Rana Crozier this morning. And Rana, I have to tell you, to me, you are the perfect advocate for nudism, naturism. First of all, you're very intelligent. You're highly articulate. And you are not afraid to get out there and say, hey, get your clothes off, enjoy clothes for your living, because you'll be a lot happier for it. So on the behalf of everybody, thank you for what you're doing. Please continue to do so, even though it's 25 hours a day you probably put in. But how do we get to that point that you were talking about a few moments ago? And if I tell people I really enjoy baseball, which I do, That's not really a secret. You know, I enjoy baseball. I like to watch games on TV, or somebody might say, I like to go shopping, or I might like to look at new cars. But if you're a nudist, you can't say, oh, I'm a nudist. I live close free in my home, or I go to resorts or whatever. Why is that such a secret and such a stigma, do you think?
Unfortunately, as you know, and certainly most nudists know, there is this erroneous association of nudity with sex. There is this sense that a bunch of people who are together without their clothing are engaging in sexual activity. And that is totally wrong. Particularly if you are a true nudist, if you are authentic. If you're authentic, then you respect one another. You know the difference between who your friend is versus your intimate partner. Until we can influence our decision makers, whether they are school committees or the government, whoever, to understand that all we are doing really is enjoying nature. We are being at one with, you know, the sun, the wind, the water. We will have a better chance to be able to be open. But until we remove that sense that nudity equals sex, we are not going to be able to move in the direction that we would like to.
Very well said. We've been talking to Rana Crozy this morning. She's the current chairperson of the Public Relations Committee for AANR. And Rana, this is obviously our short interview. We're going to have you back in the not-too-distant future for a full-length interview. We'll get into everything at that point. But thank you very much for being here today and continue what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's a real pleasure to be able to tell the world who we are. And this is one very good way of doing it. So thank you.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Rana Crozy, go out there and have a great close-free day. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
What an absolutely terrific woman and an over-the-top great advocate for nudism, close-free living for all the right reasons. Again, the PR chairperson of the Public Relations Committee for AANR. You can contact her there. And then we'll have a full-length interview with her a little bit later during the summer. And so make sure you stick around for that. I can't wait to talk to her for the full-length interview because she has so much knowledge and so much wisdom. And we thank Rana Crozy for all of her time on today's show. You are listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 34 today. Brand new show every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. And when you listen, starting at about 6 to 6.05, you're listening with us because that's when we listen to our own show to make sure that everything was technically correct. How about that? Well, as you can tell by the music sneaking in on us, it is time for the great, the one and only, the terrific, our weekly correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe. And here she is, clothes free for all of the right reasons, smiling nonstop. I wonder if she knows something that we don't know, or maybe it's just being clothes free puts a smile on her face. But let's welcome her to the show, the one, the only, the terrific, the over-the-top phenomenal, Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. And I'm not telling. I'm just not telling.
You know, a few people have wondered, I think they're joking, does Lisa Monroe write the openings when I talk? You know, the great, the terrific, the over-the-top phenomenal. Does Lisa write those for you? And no, those are my words. And can you confirm that so people know?
Yes, I will confirm that. Frank does all of his own writing.
And Lisa never really knows what I'm going to say, which adds to the excitement for me, because I can see the look on her face. Oh, gosh, what's he going to do? What's he going to say? But then it's never really as bad as you apparently think, at least by the look on your face.
No, not usually. No, a little over the top, perhaps. I'm not sure I can dance that well. But anyway, you know, kind of shimmy in and out, I suppose. Right.
That's right. I like that word. Well, last week we talked about some nude businesses, actual businesses that have operated in the nude. We didn't make these up from cracked.com. That's the website. And I found one, Lisa, I had never heard about this as an option. I didn't know this was a business. But I this morning before you came in, I signed up for Italian lessons, French lessons, Spanish, Swahili, Russian, every language under the sun, because apparently they have nude tutors who will come to your home and tutor you in whatever, you know, could even be geometry or science, but I'm going the foreign language route because it will take a lot longer for me to learn. What do you think about nude tutoring? I just hadn't heard about that before.
I just want to know, where do you sign up? Now, of new tutoring, that is a new one on me, too. Yeah. You know, but going back to school as an adult, that's not a bad idea, is it? Get a good tutor.
It's an even better idea now, I think.
I think so, too. I like that idea. So, no, I had not heard of that. That's an interesting concept. But again, it comes back to that, what we say about being nude. As naturist, all the barriers are gone. You're just two people. So there's no there's no difference in who's being tutored and who's tutoring other than the information that needs to go by. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, it really does. I just hadn't thought of it. This next one I have thought about a lot, even back to, I think, when I was a kid, a nude hair salon. Now, I used to go to this one salon. All of the barbers were women. And they were nice women. They were friendly. You know, it wasn't, it was not an inappropriate place. But the owner asked me one day after she got to know me, and I went there forever. She said, you know, we should have a topless barber shop. And I said, well, why not a nude barber shop? And she looked at me at first and then she, like, what the heck? And then she said, you know, that actually makes sense. Because we're, you know, as barbers, we're standing all day. We're getting junk all over our clothes, you know, hairspray and, you know, whatever else they flying around a barber shop. Hair, you know, get stuck on their clothes. She said, being a nude barber would make a lot more sense. And then she said, if we did that, would you continue to be one of our customers? And I said, I'll be here 3 hours before you open the doors on your first day. And of course, she's cracking up. Now, it never became one of those, but nude hair salon to me makes perfect sense. What do you think?
I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, like you said, there's so much junk in salons and putting those in. A lot of the stylists have to put on those plastic things over their own clothes. Plus, you have to wear those things to keep stuff off of you. So, and then it can get kind of yucky and warm underneath all that plastic and stuff. So I think it's a great idea. And it keeps the hair off. And especially for, I'm going to say, it's for dog groomers. Because I used to give my dogs, I had two retrievers, both long hair. And I got to tell you something, hair was a problem when you gave them a bath. So I just didn't wear anything when I gave them a bath because it just kept things cleaner. So yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, it's totally practical. And also, and you know, I never want to come off as making a sexist remark and be one of those because I'm really not, but I know women who go through a lot more in a hair salon than men. Most men go in, just cut my hair, make it look like I was here, and then I'm out the door. Women go in to have their hair colored or whatever they, however they treat it. So that's even more junk that could get all over your clothes. You know, you wear a nice pair of jeans and you walk out, they're stained because of, you know, an accident with some coloring. Nude hair salon makes even more sense, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, it's just comfort level. It's, you know, practicality. It just does make a lot of sense. So I wish that there were more of those, but.
Well, they had, moving on to the next one, a nude motel, and they actually had one called the Faulty Towers Motel in Florida, which is a nudist motel, and their business was declining, so they thought, well, we better do something to jazz up the place. So basically, we're nude. Anybody wants to sleep here the night or a few nights, you can have your clothes off, use the pool, whatever. And I know there are places like that, but they're usually isolated and somewhat controlled. You know, if you're here, you have to be nude, and when you walk out the door, you have to be dressed. A lot of them are right inside big cities. But why not? Why not a nude hotel? You sleep nude anyway, yet you walk out the door, you got to have clothes on. No, just keep them off. What do you think?
Well, you know, that it just makes total sense that, especially if there's a pool involved, sunbathing involved, you know, if they're near a beach or something, then it just makes sense. But unfortunately, these now are restricted to places where you have to be members and you have to, you know, go through a lot of things to get there. And, you know, it's all of this is so restricted for all the wrong reasons. You know, we talk about being naked for all the right reasons. The restrictions are for all the wrong reasons. They're not for you know, they use things that shouldn't be used to keep people from enjoying this lifestyle. So I'd like that.
Well, the last one on our list, nude church. Now, I had not thought of that one. I do know that there are nude churches out there and they have nude worship services. But there's a place in Virginia, the Whitetail Chapel, which I think is, I'm sure they renamed it after it became a nude church. But the pastor said, you know, Jesus was born naked. He was crucified naked and he rose from his tomb naked. So why shouldn't we be naked too when we worship him? Honestly, I can't think of a good reason to say why not. Nude church, what do you think?
I'm all for that. I think it's, we're getting back to the basics of life, and that's the basic part of life is that faith. So I think it's an excellent idea, and he's right. You know, we look at things kind of weird, but back during Jesus's time, people were nude, and people didn't, you know, in have to be concerned about this. And so I think it's a good idea. I think it's a very good way to just get back to the basics.
I do too. And it goes back to what we've said again, a half a gazillion times and everybody else has said, when everybody is naked, nobody is naked. You're just enjoying clothes free living for all the right reasons. Whatever you're doing, whatever you used to do with your clothes on, now do them with your clothes off. And church would certainly be included, which goes against how we were brought up. You know, the pastors, the priests, whatever had robes, a million robes. You have nuns in the Catholic Church. You know, they have what they, I guess they call habits, the outfits or the costumes they wear.
Yes.
And not being inappropriate, it's just everybody has a uniform in the church, and the people in the pews, for the most part, it's changed a lot now. You're expected to look nice, you know, a suit and tie on men, a dress on the women. That's going by the wayside. Now people have, you know, Budweiser t-shirts and a ripped pair of jeans and they're still in church, but nude everything to me seems the way to go without, you know, being overly silly. It just makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Clothes became part of our lifestyle for convenience and status in some ways. I think if I remember reading that the Romans were nude most of the time, it was the senators when they went into the Senate that put on robes. And so that was kind of a status symbol for them. And so I think we've lost track of what's important. And then, I mean, if you're going to, you know, go to colder climes, then there's a reason for people putting on clothes. You can't live in that. But in the, you know, it's ridiculous for people who live in temperate climates to not be nude as much as possible because it's natural.
I agree. Clothes-free living for all the right reasons. Clothes-free businesses for all the right reasons. Let's just start a movement today. That's it. All clothes come off. They're not going back on unless it gets cold. And we'll be nice enough to allow clothing to some extent if it gets really cold, right?
Oh, absolutely. Please, at least the Afghan. Just an Afghan. That's all I'm asking for. Because I do tend to get a tiny bit cold. Like I said, if it gets under 80 here in Florida, I'm freezing. So.
Oh, my gosh. You don't want to say that too loudly to people in Canada or the Netherlands or
England.
This
is true. Well, there's cold weather coming for us, so.
That's right.
Sorry, we'll be part of the clothes there for a few days.
Well, sparingly, that's true. All right, Lisa Monroe, we are going to duck off and get to the interview. I want you to go out there and have a great clothes-free week. Keep smiling. Keep doing whatever you're doing, including dancing around the house. And we'll see you next time.
All righty. Goodbye, Frank. Take care.
All right. Thank you. The terrific Lisa Monroe as she goes dancing, shimmying, disco style out the door. And we appreciate Lisa Monroe for all that she does here, these segments, obviously. And she is also the one who entirely runs our website. I don't know how she finds the time to do that, but she does. And we're very thankful for that. And once again, we thank Lisa Monroe. We'll see her next week. Well, you are listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists today, episode 34. Really glad that you are with us. I've said this before, I'll just say it again. We really look forward to this time together to spend with you to discuss clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. That's why we bring so many great guests to you as well. Advocates for nudism, naturism, clothes-free living, they love it, they enjoy it, they get it. And now they're trying to pass along to everybody the benefits, the joys of clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. And we are glad that you are with us today for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 34. And now let's get to part two of my interview with the very terrific Fiona Discombe. She and her husband, Michael, have the Narrowboat Hotel on a boat in the UK. So let's get to it. Part two of my interview with Fiona Discombe. So let's talk about at some point in the past, you guys got a van and said, you know what, we're going to start traveling and go to naturist resorts. And not everything you found was sunshine and lollipops, but you did find a lot of that too. Maybe just take us through that. Why did you do the van thing and what did you find along your journey?
After we got married, a few years after we got married, my father unfortunately passed away. And I was working in the NHS, and Michael was a driving instructor at the time, and he was self-employed, and it made us sit and reevaluate what we were doing, okay, with our lives. And I think something like that always brings things to a fore. So we decided to quit. Well, I quit my job. Michael stopped being a driving instructor. Well, okay. And we sold our house at the time, and we bought a van. And we took our Labrador with us as well. She came with us. And we decided to do a trip. We planned a trip around Europe. And because we were so much into the naturist side of things, we wanted to go and explore what there was to offer abroad, obviously. And we set off. We didn't really have much of a plan as such where we were going to go. We just went. So we got the Channel Tunnel across, and we went through France, and we stopped off at various places like Uranat, Arna, smaller places as well, little campsites. And then we traveled further down to Spain, and we did a lot around there. We did a bit of Eastern Europe. That wasn't so much venues. That was more about exploring the area. And you, there was hardly anybody around. You could be naked most of the time. But like I say, the best places that we found were in France and Spain, I think, out of all of them. Germany we touched on, but we didn't actually get into Germany as such. We wanted to, but there was some reason why we couldn't go there. And we did Italy as well. Okay. And Greece. Okay. So we travelled far and far, but we did it in stages, obviously. So it took us, I'd say, probably about a year and a half to get around all these different places.
Wow.
Okay. And just, we did some reviews and we posted them on, unfortunately it's been taken down now, but if people want to see these videos, we do have them on Vimeo, which is another platform that people can view these on.
Oh yeah.
We did have them on YouTube, but because YouTube, well, they just thought that what nudity is inappropriate, which we managed to cover up a lot of things, but they for some reason took it down. But it's now on Vimeo. So if anyone wants to sort of view what we did, they are on there, documents our whole journey around Europe, and there's so much to see on there. We do talks about I've just been talking to you about breasts and bras, penises, sizes, and if it matters, all sorts of topics that are relevant to sort of nudism and traveling, really. So it was a fantastic experience, and I want to do it again, but I think I want to come to the States this time and do like the Route 66 or something like that. I'd love to do that.
That'd be great. I'd love to have you over here.
But also, obviously, I know there's certain venues in the States that are quite good as well. I mean, we know about Cypress Cove, which is quite a big site, and that's in Florida, isn't it? So
yeah, not too probably about hour and a half from me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And there's lots of other ones as well. So we just want to sort of explore that sort of side of things as well. Okay. But that's something for, you know, in the next couple of years, maybe.
Oh, that'd be great. Now, you did mention this just a few moments ago, but I want to mention it again. So our listeners, I want to make sure everybody caught it. When you took this van trip for about a year and a half around Europe, you actually sold your house before you got the van and took off, right? So you had nowhere to go back to. It's like, okay, Mike, we're hitting the road and there's no returning right now because all we have is this van, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We just thought, that's it. You get one life. Let's just do it. And then we sort the consequences out when we come back. But as it was, you know, we managed to, we came back to the UK, and at the time, we actually found a place in the south of England where they were looking for somebody to basically take over a naturist campsite, which we did.
Wow.
And that was Max's Garden. That's quite a prolific naturist site in the UK. We set that up. We took it over. The people that own it still own it, but we managed it for a little while for them. And we did lots of improvements to it. It won best naturist venue in the UK through Naturist Travel magazine. And we were so surprised because, you know, a little tiny campsite in the middle of the UK, you know, you just think, wow, you know. But it was good, and we served food to people. We had a massive polytunnel that had a swimming pool, a jacuzzi and a sauna. And we did all this up and we made it really, really lovely, and camping pitches for people. And it was just fantastic. And that's what we did when we came back from our travels. And we did that for 3 years, and it was really successful. But unfortunately, due to we didn't actually own the property or, you know, the campsite. So we decided, the people that owned it said, well, we can't make a living out of it between us. So we decided to give it back to them, which was fair enough. And then that's when we decided to come on to the narrowboat.
Okay, which we'll get to in just a moment. Now, you talked about all these different countries that are really good for naturism. I'm going to ask you to rank maybe the top three or five, not necessarily in order, like the best countries to be nude. But I had a chance, gosh, it's been at least maybe 20 years ago or so. I worked for a long time as a musician. I mean, a professional musician. And I got an offer to play a jazz festival in the country of Portugal. And as I was talking to the guy who was inviting me, we talked about different opportunities. Because, you know, I, of course, I'm interested in the naturism aspect, but I didn't know him. I just don't want to put that out there. I said, what are the beaches like? And because I'll want to explore the beaches if I come over there. And he's describing this, that, and the other thing. And I finally had to ask. I said, well, can I be nude on the beach? And he said, Portugal is one of the best countries in the world for being nude. But I've heard since then that that might not be the case. And I noticed in your when you're talking about these different countries, you didn't mention Portugal. What's Portugal all about in terms of naturism?
Yeah, we have visited Portugal. We did that last year, actually. I'd say it's not great. It's not like Spain. I think you have to be selective about where you actually be naked. I haven't heard anyone saying you cannot be naked on a beach there. But personally, when we in our experience of being there, I think it's frowned upon a little bit. And I think there is a huge market there. I mean, if you could get out into there and do it, it's fantastic. It needs more education, I think, there. But I don't think there's as many places as there are in Spain, if you compare it to Spain or France.
Okay. So France and Spain would be your top two in either order. Are there a couple of others in the top five you'd put in there?
Germany. I mean, we went to Cologne. That's as far as we got with Germany. Cologne was fantastic. It's not obviously a beach destination, but the spas there are amazing. And it was quite interesting, actually, because when we got to this spa, the lady behind the desk, she sort of looked at us and said, you are British? And we said, yes. And she said, no costume, no costume. And we said, no, we don't want to wear a costume. And she said, oh, amazing. She was so pleased that we didn't want to wear a costume, because obviously people that go there normally are, you know, that are booking in are normally, oh, no, she's spa, no costume, you cannot wear a costume. No, absolutely fine with us. And we were so pleased that we found that. But that's like that anywhere in the Europe, you know, in a proper spa environment, you would not wear a costume.
Sure. Yeah, it would have to be designated for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really good. It's good to hear that. We are not as free in the United States of America in terms of naturism. You pretty much have to go to a nudist resort or your backyard if it's secluded and private enough, or a beach if there's a nude beach or a secluded area of the beach. So we don't really have the freedom here. Now, you mentioned Spain a couple of times. What's so unique about that? Can you be naked anywhere? Can you be naked on any beach, I guess, is the question?
Yeah, I mean, in Spain, like I said, it's quite widely accepted, and it's more of a family activity. So you'll see, like, a family go down, and maybe not the mother or the, you know, the partner is not fully naked, but she might be topless. Sure. Or there might be completely nude families. It depends on how they are about it. But generally speaking, nobody cares if you're naked or not on any beach in Spain. And it's not illegal there either. You can just do it anywhere in Spain. It's widely accepted. Like I say, I think Malaga, there's Almunica, which is a very good place as well, beach-wise, to go down. That's the south of Spain. And there's lots of campsites there. And you find a lot of German and Dutch, and a few Brits, but not as many. I think it's more dominated by those sort of nationalities.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, let's get into your boat. And you know, I noticed something just a moment ago. You know, we're a naturist studio. We have a naturist office. Everybody who works here is a naturist. There are seven of us all together. We just don't work close here. That's just what we do. And obviously you're a naturist. Mike's a naturist. And so we conduct our interviews in the nude. I mean, why would we put clothes on for a naturist interview, right? And unless the guest specifically requests it, like, I don't really know you, Frank, so why don't we have clothes on? That's happened once or twice. But other than that, you know, we're just nude here. We're nude for the interviews. And of course, I'm focusing on your face, you know, as we're talking here. But I just saw myself, because I can see myself on video. My nipples as a male have been prominently displayed the whole interview. And not once have you been offended, have you?
No, not at all.
It's just amazing how that works. And, I'll never get that. I'll never fully understand it. I think just somebody or a few people got together a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, and said, you know what? Let's tell the women they have to keep their nipples covered up. And let's tell the men it's okay to do so. Because, again, I can walk to my mailbox this afternoon and no one's going to care. But if you did it, people would care and probably say something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that where you think that came from? Just somebody decided or somebody's decided, let's tell the women to keep their clothes on, keep their chest covered up, but men can go bare chested. Somebody decided.
Yeah. I think, you know, definitely it was somebody's idea. Like I think a lot of things, you know, in life, it's that thing about someone said that and it's stuck and now we can't get rid of it. You know, it's like trying to convince it's not a problem, you know, rather than making it a massive problem, you know.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. All right, so let's talk about your boat. We're talking to Fiona Discom, her husband, Michael, and Fiona own this boat, and it's basically a hotel boat. It's 70 feet long, as I understand it. There's accommodations for up to 2, 3, or 4 people. She'll fill us in on that. And they'll cook for you. They'll take very good care of you, take you on a journey to various places. But Fiona, I'm going to let you fill in the details. What is this all about, this basic hotel on a boat, which, by the way, is where you guys live full time, as I understand. Just tell us what it's all about.
Okay, so we decided to do the narrowboat when we came back from our travels. We wanted a base in the UK, and we wanted somewhere to live, and we wanted a business so we could work from home. And we came across this boat in Guildford in Surrey. And we had a look at it and we thought, yeah, this would be good. And at first we thought we could just do clothed cruises for people that wanted to sort of experience what it's like on a narrowboat. And then we thought about it and we thought, we know so many people that are naturists that would love this sort of experience. So we decided to make it a floating hotel for naturists. And there are places along, you know, the canal system that you can moor up and just go into a field and have a lovely picnic or have a barbecue in the summer, obviously. And this boat, you know, lends itself to being, you know, for accommodation. It's very good because we can have 4 adults on the boat. They've got their own section of the boat. So they have their own separate shower, toilet and sink. The only thing that we do is we share the kitchen. And we are down the other end of the boat, which is our sort of living area. And we cook for people, like you were saying. We will prepare meals. But if they don't want to do that, we are happy to, you know, take them where they want. We go to a restaurant, like I say, or a pub, a local pub. And there are so many along this system. You know, in the UK, there's tons of them that you could go along. And we've had a few people on last year and they really enjoyed it. And hopefully this year it will be a better summer. I mean, last summer was quite rainy, but we still have people that came and wanted to have that experience. And it is a lot slower. And it's not like your typical life. You want, if you're looking for a speedboat life time experience, it's not that. It's slow. It's 4 miles an hour. It's really slow, but it's nice, and it makes you, you know, you can enjoy the slowness of everything and read a book or just chill out and sleep or sunbathe on the roof. You can actually go on the roof. Michael does yoga. He will do naked yoga inside the boat. Unfortunately, outside might be a bit more of a problem, but we can do that if we're in a secluded area. I do massage, and I'm a trained massage therapist, so I can offer that as well on the boat, which I have done. And, you know, people enjoy that as part of their experience of being on the boat and being looked after and just being pampered, really. And we are quite surprised about how successful, you know, last year we thought we wouldn't get anybody, and we had, you know, a fair few people that wanted to come. And it works, because obviously, you know, we're naturists, they're naturists. There are times when we have to cover up, but it's not very often. And like I say, we're not hardcore. If it's cold, we'll put some clothes on. But if it's nice weather, we don't bother.
Well, you're intelligent naturist, right? If it's cold, you're going to throw something on.
Yeah.
Well, that actually, to me, reading your story and just listening to you explain it, it sounds too good to be true, except it really is true. I mean, you take these people on the boat, they have their own private accommodations at one end of the boat, you're at the other end, kitchen in the middle, you'll even cook for them. You go 4 miles an hour, you're on a lake, I'm guessing, or a river. Is that, where do you take the boat?
It's just more like a canal system. So it's just a system of sort of waterways, basically.
Okay, so you're on the water, just traveling around at 4 miles an hour. And, you know, people can relax and have some iced tea or whatever they want to drink. And you mentioned they can do naked yoga. You'll do massages because you're a trained massage therapist. You'll stop at various places. If they say, hey, I want to go to that restaurant, you'll stop and accommodate them. This is like, to me, I wish I would have thought of this as a business idea. This seems like the best business idea I've ever heard in my life. And I know you just started last year, but I can't imagine it'll be very long before you guys are solidly booked, and you'll have to tell people, no, sorry, call us back in 2045. We might have an opening then, but are you getting a lot of calls and a lot of emails even for later this year in 2024?
And at the moment, I think because it's the beginning of the year, people are still a little bit, it's just after Christmas, but I think sort of towards Easter, we might still get a few more. That's when you normally get the people that want to sort of think maybe June, July, maybe do that because the weather's better, especially in the UK, because you can't guarantee the weather. But yeah, I mean, that's when it starts to get a bit busier.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, I saw either on your site or in an article, you recommend or you require a minimum of 3 nights on the boat, you know, a 3-night stay. Is that correct? And if so, do people adhere to that? Or do they say 3 days, forget that, I want 6 or 7 or 10 or whatever? How does that usually work?
Yeah, I mean, the 3 days is the minimum. And that is just purely because there's so much work to do in between people coming and leaving. That's why we say the 3 days. So it makes it more effective for us, really. But if people want to stay longer, that's entirely up to them. It's just if people want to stay maybe 1 or 2 days, it's not really sort of viable for us. So that's why we don't do it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What's the, just out of curiosity, what's the longest somebody has stayed with you on the boat as a customer, a resident of your hotel on the boat?
About 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
So quite a long time.
Now, I can't imagine if I ever got to the UK and booked a trip with you, I think 3 days for me would be too short. It's like, once we get out there, why would you ever want to go back?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You probably don't want to book the entire summer for one person, right? I'm guessing.
Oh, no.
Okay. Now, you also, you know, you mentioned you're accommodating to naturists. They can be nude on your boat. They can, you know, do naked yoga and get a massage. But if somebody is not a naturist and they say, hey, you know, I live with my clothes on, you'll accommodate them too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If they want to come on and be clothed, that's fine. Sometimes we get people that are, one person is naturist and the partner isn't. So we just say, well, it's up to you. If you feel comfortable with us, you know, being naked and you're, and but normally they are, because their partner's normally naked, so they're not worried about that so much. Okay. But we are respectful. I mean, if people come along and say, I don't want it to be naked, that's fine. Yeah. You know, we can do that. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll keep their clothes on the whole trip, but you and Michael will keep your clothes on as well, out of respect for them, basically.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. But this is more marketed to naturists, or do you put it out there for anybody just in general?
Normally we put it out for naturists. But anyone can come along. We're not excluding anybody. It's all inclusive. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the best way to go. If you're going to run a business, come on in. You know, if you have a checkbook or a credit card, come on in. Not going to turn anybody away. Now, I remember reading on Twitter last year, because we are friends in the studio here with Helen Berryman in particular, Simon as well. But she had documented a trip that they took with you as well, right?
Oh yeah, they came along last summer, and they really loved it. They thought it was so like chilled out, and you know, Helen was feeding the swans on the bow, which is the front of the boat outside, and she's got a little picture of her doing that. They just really thought it was just such a lovely way to relax, and I know they're very busy all the time, and they came along and really chilled out and loved it. They thought it was amazing.
Yeah, that's actually where I first heard about your business. We had become followers of Helen and Simon. They had become followers of us, and then she started documenting this trip. I thought, well, this is again too good to be true, except it really is true. It really is that good. So definitely, hats off to both you and Michael. And tell our listeners again, if they want to book a trip for you, if they want more information, how do they get a hold of you? Where do they go?
So they can either go to narrowboathotel.com, or they can contact us through our email, which is M for Mother Discombe, which is DISCOMBE.co.UK.
Okay. And that is in the show notes as well, so people can refer to that. And we hope they find you. We hope they book a trip there. I'm feeling more relaxed just thinking about the potential of a trip on that hotel on a boat that you and Michael run. It just sounds like a great idea. Now, you did mention you will cook for them, but you also said if they want to go to restaurants, you'll do that. But do you allow them to use your kitchen to do the cooking, or is that maybe you can't do that because of some safety issues?
Yeah, generally speaking, we'll do the catering. I mean, you know, if they want to make themselves a cup of tea or coffee or anything like that, that's fine. But I think generally speaking, we will do most of the catering.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably wise, because people start tooling around in your kitchen. You know, you just don't know. And even if they're really safe and careful, they might tweak things a little bit. So I think you guys are doing a great job, a great business out there. And to reiterate, obviously you have the hotel on the boat. We'll get the information again before we let you go. You took a van, explored naturism throughout Europe. You got over this whole body shaming thing way back in high school and just said, you know what, I'm going out in the backyard here. I'm going to whip my top off and enjoy life. And then at some point you became a fully blown naturist. And that came basically after you got married and you and Michael just decided, yeah, that's the life for us. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, it sounds too good to be true, but it's true.
I know.
I'd never look back now, and I'd never go back to, you know, wearing clothes, you know, again. Obviously, I have to wear clothes to go shopping and things like that. But generally speaking, right, if I'm in a naturist environment, that's it.
Yeah. Or if you're home, it's just there or is home. No point. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And your advice again for women, a couple of things I just wanted you to reiterate. First of all, to get over that hump, like, oh boy, people are going to laugh at me or make fun of me if I take off my clothes. So I'll wear layers like you did at one time. Your advice is, who cares what people think? Just get your clothes off and enjoy clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And then also never, ever, ever, as in never, wear a bra. Those two pretty good pieces of advice you'd be willing to dispense.
My advice to sort of anyone, or women especially, if they feel they want to try being naked, try it at home, in a comfortable surrounding, do something familiar, like make a cup of tea and sit there naked drinking it. And also, if you do have a mirror in your house, like a full-length mirror or even a face mirror, just, look at yourself, look at your body and appreciate your body, and we all come with scars and lumps and bumps and things. And that is your life story. That's you. Yeah. So don't feel worried about you've got this, you've got that, and I don't look like, Jennifer Lopez or whatever. You are who you are. And that's the message we're trying to, get out there, really.
Right. And ultimately, you're the one who has to live with your body 24 hours a day. It's not some knucklehead in the grocery store in aisle 3. We don't care about him or her. We just care about you, Fiona, about yourself, and me, about myself, because we have to live with ourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Why are you worrying about it? That's my thing. Why are you worrying about that? It's so insignificant. Well, in my opinion, it's very insignificant, and you should be just enjoying yourself and experience your own body and get used to how your body is naked and enjoy it. Don't feel worried about it and het up about it. There's no point. You're just wasting your life.
Yeah. Well, everybody I've known who ventured into naturism, tiptoed in. Okay, I'll take my hat off today, maybe my gloves tomorrow. But once they got into it, I don't know of anybody. And I know a lot of people who have done this. I don't know of anybody who's gone back. Who said, I spent all summer naked, but you know what? It's not for me. I'm going to put my 3 sweatshirts back on and enjoy life. Nobody's ever done that in my world. I'm guessing the same for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No one has ever said to me, well, actually, I don't like naturism. I'm going to go back and wear a suit or whatever. It's not like that. People people don't know what they're missing. I think that's the whole fundamental thing we're trying to get through to people is just give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? Just put your clothes back on if you don't like it, and everyone can do it because everybody's got a body.
That's right.
There's no way they're saying, well, I can't do that. Well, you can. You just got to have the courage to do it. And it is hard, and I'm not saying it's easy, but in the right environment and you have support there and, it shouldn't be a problem. You should be able to just try it. And like I say, if you don't like it, there's nothing lost. You just go back to how you were. But if you do like it, you're going into another type of experience that you can't explain to anyone that hasn't done it, what it's like until you do it.
Yeah, that's very well said. And like you said, you can't fail at it. It's not like playing basketball. You can fail at basketball. You might never learn how to shoot or dribble, but taking your clothes off, everybody can do that, right? It's easy as life comes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just give it a go. That's my advice. Give it a go. And then you've not lost nothing. And I'm sure there are lots of people that still would like to try it, but just don't have the courage. But I say, just give it a go. That's all you can do.
That's right. Great wisdom, great words of advice. And I mean that very seriously, Fiona. You're an inspiration to a lot of people out there, probably more than you know. It's probably thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands or millions. People hear you. They hear your story. They hear this show with you talking. They read the written word about you. And you're an inspiration to all because you went through what everybody else goes through. Okay, I'm going to dress in layers and maybe I'll become invisible to, hello, I am nude 25 hours a day, every chance I get. So if you can do it, anybody can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And we really thank you for your time and say hello to Michael for us. And before we let you go, again, Fiona Discom here. Tell our listeners again how they can get a hold of you, how they can book a trip on your boat and anything else you want to put out there.
Okay, so if you want to book a trip with us, you go to narrowboathotel.com or you can contact us through our email address, which is M for Mother Discombe, which is DISCOMBE.co.uk.
All right, very good. Again, Fiona Discombe, check them out. Book a trip today. Don't wait because they'll be so booked you won't be able to get in. So call them, email them, book a trip today. And Fiona Discombe, thank you very much for everything. Go out there and have a terrific clothes-free day. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. The very terrific Fiona Discombe. And again, you can reach them, Fiona and her husband, Michael, narrowboathotel.com. Book your trip today. I think you'll be glad that you did. And we thank Fiona Discombe for all of her time on today's show. We will also have her husband, Michael, coming up in the not-too-distant future. Well, we hope you enjoyed the show today. We hope you can listen to it clothes-free because that's the only way to be. Not trying to be poetic. It's just, why not? Let's enjoy life and clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. Well, thank you for joining us today on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 34 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistsandnaturists.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here, and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.